Well, good to see you all here this morning, and we just want to welcome you this morning to Bethel Gospel Chapel. Especially if you are visiting for the first time, we want to give you a special welcome. We think that it is a good thing to be in the house of the Lord and in the presence of the Lord. Last week, Brother Luke was speaking to us, and he said he had a cold, and he was the guy with the French accent. This week, I don't have a cold, but he got a multilingual accent. So if anyone don't understand me, put up your hand, and I will repeat and make sure you will hear and you will understand, okay? If you notice our bulletin this morning, when you came in, there's the yellow bulletin, and if you take that on the back of that bulletin, I don't know how Sonia ID might come up with these passages, and she does a good job. If you notice that every week when she put up all these, print these bulletins on the back, she explains about that day's subject and very well. So if you don't understand anything that I say this morning and you didn't hear anything, please take those the bulletin with you this morning, and you can read it at home, and at least you will understand most of it. And thank you very much for that, and thank you, Rennie, and the musicians this morning. So our passage this morning is Brother George Idima told me, okay, we're starting the Psalms again for the fall. So he gave me Psalm 103. And what a magnificent piece of Word of God is that, because the biggest orator, speaker of speakers, Charles Spurgeon, said, Psalm 103 is the crown jewel of all the other Psalms. And that is true. What a wonderful portion of scripture is we going to look at this morning. So this morning, what we see is Psalm 103 is a psalm of the redeemed soul in thanksgiving. And that's what we see here. So the first five verses of that psalm, if you read it, it is known as the five kernels. You know how the corn on the cob is? And if you ever taken a look at that thing, how many corns in that one little cob? Amazing how the way God has arranged that thing, isn't it? When you look at that thing, there is not a little space in between them. They are all neatly arranged. And you take one by one. And there are so many. So this morning, we're going to look at... So first of all, if you read the Psalm 103, it says there, it is the kernel of God's forgiveness. And secondly, it is the kernel of redemption. Remember I was saying, this is the psalm of the redeemed soul. So if you are here this morning, as we've been singing that hymn, it is well with my soul. And here at Bethel, that is our desire. And that's why we exist here, because we want everyone that comes through this door to have their soul's well-being looked after. And you might think, well, okay, I'm a good man, I'm a good guy, I'm going to church, I don't do any stealing, I'm not a robber, I don't do any other bad stuff. But you know, friends, this morning, going to church, sitting in the pew, singing in the choir, and even sitting on the board, doesn't qualify you or me for heaven. And that is why the psalmist explained to us this morning, Let's look at a couple of these verses. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Now, the rest of the verses, you cannot say within your heart or your soul that if your soul is not redeemed, because it's not applicable to you. And this is applicable to all those who are redeemed by the Lord. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, the Lord Jesus said, "Enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in their act." And that is the world that we find ourselves, don't we? Psalm 40, the psalmist cry out to Lord and say, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praises unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust the Lord." So here we have, in Psalm 103, first of all, the kernel of forgiveness. Secondly, of redemption. Thirdly, of healing. Fourthly, love. And fifthly, of renewal. That is just the five verses of Psalm 103. The Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, so they shall be filled." Psalm 107 and 9, "For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." If you go back to the Old Testament, the Lord told the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 8, He says, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee." Luke brought us last week about thanksgiving, and he mentioned quite a few passages when he was speaking. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, "Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." When the Apostle Paul was writing to the Colossians, he is describing about the position of the believer in the Lord Jesus. So here is our desire this morning, and I just want to let you know that if you do not know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, at the end of this meeting, hopefully the Holy Spirit will work in your heart and make sure that you are saved and your soul is redeemed and it is well with your soul, as many of us here are. See, here is the thing. Here at Bethel, all of us who are believers, we are on a journey on our way to heaven. And we want everyone else want to come with us. That's a good thing, isn't it? When you have a good thing, and heaven is our home, we are strangers and pilgrims here. So the Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the Thessalonians, he says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And the Apostle Paul also says, when he was writing to Timothy, he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Psalm 90 2 and verse 1, the psalmist declares, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." And that's what we see. And remember in Luke chapter 17, the Lord Jesus Christ healed 10 lepers. How many came back? Just one. I had to thank the Lord. And he, you know, and the scripture mentioned that he was a Samaritan. And there are theories about the other 9 that didn't show up. And people have speculated why the other 9 didn't come. Well, one waited to see if the cure was real. And the other one waited to see if it would last. And the third one said he would see Jesus later. And remember, these are some of the same excuses as human beings we make. We blame these people, but sometimes we make the same excuses to be thankful. One decided he never had leprosy. And another one, the fifth one, said he would have got better anyway. And another one said, one gave glory to the priest. Another one said, "Oh well, Jesus didn't really do anything that much for me." And another one said, "Any rabbi could have done it." And the last one, the 9th one, said, "I was already much improved before Jesus healed me." And how many times we find ourselves in the same situation that we're not thankful. "So and fell down on his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan." So the Apostle Paul concludes in thanksgiving, say, "But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus." Psalm 103. As I said, this psalm is known as the song of the redeemed in thanksgiving for God's blessings, his beauty, his benefits, his banner, and the beyond. And that's what we see in the psalm if you read all 22 verses. Okay, first of all, there is a request for thanksgiving. It is a call for the soul to give adoration and praise and worship to a worthy God. And the psalmist challenges himself in his soul to bless the Lord. And if you are redeemed this morning by the Lord Jesus, you put your trust and faith in him for the salvation of your soul, that should be your condition and my condition this morning. First of all, we saw that this request for thanksgiving. Secondly, we see that there is requirement of thanksgiving. Thankfulness is not an option. It is a command, as we read some of those verses from 1 Thessalonians, Hebrews chapter 13. The Apostle Paul, when he is writing to the Philippians in chapter 4, he also reminds them that praise is also beneficial, because be careful for nothing, and by supplication and prayer make your request made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And later on in verse 13, the Apostle Paul reminds the Philippians and he says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So it is beneficial for us to give thanks to the Lord. Now, third is not only a request for thanksgiving and requirement of thanksgiving, but there is reasons for thanksgiving. What are they? The psalmist identifies 9 spiritual reasons. Okay? You notice that especially they are spiritual reasons. Sometimes, when we pray, for our daily needs, physical, and some of the things that are going on in everyday life. So first of all, the spiritual reasons is identified. Number one, God's forgiveness. And you notice that I put that in Him. In who? In the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So you have to remember that. The forgiveness. So how can a holy and righteous God forgive your sins and my sins? That is only in the Lord Jesus. Now, we don't have time to turn into most of these verses because our time is limited and I have quite a bit of material here. I just want to run it through. Okay, first of all, what is sin? If you need forgiveness of sin, you have to know what sin is, because we're living in a world where sin is relative, because one man says that is sin, another man says, well, it's according to you, not according to me. But the scripture tells us is sin is the transgression of the law. And that's what 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4 reminds us. And in chapter 5 and verse 17, it also says, all unrighteousness is sin. And that's why you and I need forgiveness of sin. Why? Because the scripture reminds us, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you and I need forgiveness of sin. How can God forgive your sin and my sin? Because the scripture reminds us that God laid your sin and my sin upon the sin bearer. Because Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. All we have gone astray like sheep. We have turned everyone to our own ways. But the Lord had laid on Him, who? The Lord Jesus, the iniquity of us all. And that, where was that? That was at the cross of Calvary. So, number one, there are 7 things I just wanted to mention briefly. Isaiah reminds us that He brought them out of His sight. He cast them behind His back into the depths of the sea. Brother George Idima, a couple of weeks ago, when he was speaking, he mentioned this verse from Micah chapter 7 and verse 19. Who is a pardoning God like thee? And he, at the end of that verse, he says, I will remember their sins no more, but I will cast them into the depths of the sea. So if you believe in the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, God has promised, because He says, this is all because He, Jesus, bore our sins in His own body on the tree. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. So, God cast them behind His back into the depths of the sea. He removes them far away. In this psalm, verse 12, He has reminded us, He has removed our sins as far as east is from the west. You notice that it doesn't say from north to south. Because north to south, you reach an end. But east to west, you never reach. Those who have flown, say like if you get on a plane from Vancouver and you travel, you keep on going. And it will be go round and round if you never stop anywhere. And that's what God says. That's what He does. He remembers them no more. He forgives them to the believer. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing the Ephesians, he says, in whom, that is the Lord Jesus, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. So, we need not only God's forgiveness, but we also have God's healing. Our soul is made whole in the Lord Jesus. We also have God's redemption. Verse 4a, He redeemed my soul from destruction. Redeem a life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. So, 4b, in the Lord Jesus, we have received grace, mercy, compassion, salvation, and eternal blessings. You notice that how these verses reveal the great truths of God's sovereign grace and salvation in our lives. John, when he was writing in his gospel, he says in chapter 1, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through the Lord Jesus Christ. We also have God's mercy in this psalm. And briefly I mention a few things from this psalm before you go and read all this. Look at verse 9. God manifest His mercy. He says, He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. Not only He manifests His mercy, but He also measures His mercy. Verse 11. He is mindful of His mercy towards each one of us. Verse 13. Verse 15 of Psalm 103. He multiplies His mercy towards each one of us. And look at verse 17. He maintains His mercy. Because the prophet Jeremiah, when he was writing the book of Lamentations, he says, chapter 3 and verse 22, because of the mercy of the Lord, that we are not consumed. In other words, we are not destroyed. Let me say, those of you who do not understand what grace and mercy is. Grace is, God is bestowing upon you and me, undeserved sinners, what we don't deserve. Mercy of God is, He withholds what we deserve. And you know what? We all deserve what? The punishment of sin. Because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, that is the grace of God, bestowing upon you and me. And because His compassions, they fail not. And because of that, the mercy of the Lord is. And then in verse 5, we also have God's peace. We have given in the Lord Jesus spiritual satisfaction and sufficient strength for our Christian journey. When the Apostle Peter, when he was writing his second epistle, he says, according to the word of God, the power of God, He has given us all things pertain unto life and godliness for the Christian life. So, and then in verse 6, we have God's intercession in the Lord Jesus. We have one who pleads our case before God. When John was writing his the first John chapter 2, he says there, "Little children, I write unto you that you sin not." But then he says, "If any man sins, we have an advocate, a barrister, a lawyer who pleads our case before God." And that's what lawyers do. They defend you on your defense. Verse 7, he says there, God's, not only God's intercession, but God's revelation. In the Lord Jesus, we can know Him, fellowship with God, and follow Him. He has revealed Himself, not only in His Word. Remember John's Gospel chapter 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory as of all the only begotten Son of God. And verse 19, we also have God's sovereignty. In Him, we can rest in His control of all things. The book of Romans, the Apostle Paul reminds us, all things work together for good to them who love God. And you notice that in the Psalms, we also, many places, we can know that the sovereignty of God, how we can rest in His control of things. As David closes this psalm, he calls on all creation to join him in praise of the Lord. Notice that how many people he calls on: angels, saints, servants, and sinners, along with all creation, are called upon to offer God praise, glory, and adoration that He deserves. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthians, in chapter 1, he says, "All the promises of God are in Him," that is, in the Lord Jesus Christ, "are yea and amen. In Him are amen, for the glory of God by us." And notice that, why? Because He is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide or see to it. And you notice that all these seven things corresponds with Psalm 23 and verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And He is also Jehovah Shalom, Lord, He is our peace. Psalm 23 and verse 2. And the Apostle Paul, remember I mentioned Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. He says that the peace of God that passeth all understanding. If you believe on the Lord Jesus and you are a believer in Him, not only you have the God of peace with you, but you also have the peace of God that passeth all understanding in everyday life. He is not only Jehovah Shalom, but He is also Jehovah Rohi, the Lord, our shepherd. He is also Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Psalm 23 says, "Though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil." Why? "Because Thou art with me." The Lord's presence is with you and with me. And He is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner. We have all these verses, but we don't have time to turn to them. I wish we had time to turn to each one of them. This is at least, 9 or 10 weeks sermons in this material that if we go through, I just want to run it through so you will have an understanding. He was Jehovah Tsidkenu, Lord, our righteousness. So the five S's of verses 1 to 5 on this, as a sinner, God forgives me. Notice, it is in the present tense. He says, God not forgave me, or He will forgive me. He says, He forgives me. So that is a, what does that mean? So that is a continual process. Because when God forgives, He continually forgives you and me in the Lord Jesus. Because your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins are all paid by the Lord Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Upon the merit of His cross work, you and I are forgiven of our sins. Because the book of Hebrews reminds us that once in the end of the ages, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to put away sin. And that is why. But this man has offered one sacrifice forever, and He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Not only as a sinner He forgives me, but as a sick man He heals me. Our souls are subject to many terrible maladies. Among them are lust, hate, jealousy, discouragement, depression, doubt, disappointment, despair, discontent, anger, fear, and guilt, among the many. But God has a cure for all. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. He said, all you are labor and heavy laden, come unto me. What did He say? I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. You know why? Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And then, as a slave He redeems me. Every soul that is not redeemed is a slave to sin. The redemption enjoyed by the children of God will never falter or fail until all the saints arrive safely home in glory. Because Christ obtained eternal redemption for you and for me. And then, as a saint, He satisfies me. As a son, He crowns me. We are told that He crowns His children with loving kindness and tender mercies. The New Testament calls it grace, which is matchless and marvelous. So as we conclude this psalm, we can say, what a wonderful Savior and Lord is our Lord Jesus. We can certainly say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. He is the God who forgives. He is the God who heals. He is the God who preserves. He is the God who provides. He is the God who satisfies. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to Philippians, he says, but my God shall supply all your need. You notice that it doesn't say all your wants. Because we sometimes as human beings, we have many wants. But that's not what he said. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It is like a little check that you write if you have a bank account and money in the bank. Okay? The firm is my God. The promise is shall supply. The amount, all you need. The capital, according to his riches. The address of the bank, where? It's in glory. The signature on the bottom of that check is Christ Jesus. You notice that it is endorsed by the person to whom it is made payable. And it is signed by the Lord Jesus Christ. According to his riches in glory. So, finally, what is the practical application that we can, you and I can take from this psalm this morning? Okay. I have 5 C's here. It says here, commence worship by blessing the Father. Cease from forgetting the Father's benefits. And remember the verse, it says there, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We are human beings are prone to forget things, don't we? And especially if you are getting to the age like me, I can't even remember some of the things 5-10 minutes ago. That's why he said, forget not all his benefits. Number 3, comprehend the limits of God's anger. Consider God's compassion. Continue in worship by obeying God's word. The Apostle James, when he is writing his epistle, he says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If you don't remember anything what I said this morning, just to remember 7 T's, okay? And that is, thank. Second, tell. Third, think. 4, turn. 5, thirst for God. 6, toil. And 7, trust. I just want to close with this one verse in Psalm 145. And verse 10, the psalmist in Psalm 145, he says, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. And that is, God is asking you and me this morning, be thankful for all his benefits, what he has done in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus. So this morning, as we close, I just want to ask you this morning, if you are a Christian, Psalm 103 encourages us to be a thankful people, praising people, appreciating what God has done for you and for me. And if you are not a Christian here this morning, the Holy Spirit invites you this morning to trust Him for the salvation of your soul, that your soul may be well with Him, as same as those who know Him. Shall we close in prayer? Our God and our Father, we thank Thee this morning for the precious word of God this morning revealed to us. And Father, how we praise Thee and thank Thee for Thy Son, the one who came to seek and to save that which was lost. So, Father, we pray for each one who is present here this morning, asking Thy richest blessing upon each one. And if anyone here does not know the grace of the Lord Jesus, we pray that Thy Holy Spirit might continue to work in their heart, that they might come to know the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus and have a personal relationship with the God of heaven. So, Father, this morning we ask Thy blessing upon and we commend ourselves to Thee, to the word of Thy grace. This morning, as we disperse, we are asking Thy richest blessing upon each one, for we ask it in the worthy and precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.